Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. And this is radio program number 33. You can find it on the link S4TJ Radio. There's a number of articles that are posted there on the website to encourage and strengthen those that read them with the truth of what God's Word says and how it applies to our life. You know, God's Word doesn't do much good for people if it just sits on the pages of the Bible. They have to be applied to our life. Just like a bar of soap doesn't do a lot of good sitting on the little stand there in your bathroom. It has to be applied to cleanse us. And the same thing with the Word of God. God's Word has to be applied into our life in order to have its effect on our lives, to cleanse us and to heal us and to strengthen us, to reveal the truth to us. And this is some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight, is what does it really mean to hunger for the truth, to know the truth, for the truth to be revealed in our lives? Because many of us are looking for things that are more comforting than they are for the truth. And many times the truth is not a comforting thing. Sometimes it's something that we don't want to hear, but we need to hear. But the problem is that our flesh wants to have its own way and its own will, and it tries to drive our lives like a vehicle would try to be on automatic pilot to carry its driver. But the driver is supposed to be in charge of that vehicle, and our flesh is just the vehicle for us to be to carry out God's will on the earth. So we're going to talk a little bit about revealing moments in our lives and whether we have a hunger for the truth, whether we have a slumbering spirit, or whether we truly are awake. I'd like to talk a little bit about the things that are going on with the ministry here in Panama with Strength for the Journey. We have a crusade that will be coming up in about 2 months or so in November, actually about 3 months. There will be Janet and Ray Clark will be joining us again on the 20th of November till the 10th of December. They have a ministry called Third Day Power. They have a very powerful evangelistic ministry where they demonstrate the physical power of an individual. They have a ministry called Third Day Power. It is an evangelistic ministry. Both Janet and Ray are power builders. They do strength of feet, and they have demonstrations that are very impressive. We have a woman who can break a baseball bat over her leg. She can tear up a 3-inch telephone book or 2.5-inch telephone book with her bare hands, and they attract people that normally wouldn't come to church to see demonstrations like this, and they preach the gospel. And they came to Panama last year in November and December, and they're going to be back again this year. We had about 16 events in about 11 days last year. You can go to a link on our website, and you'll see a short video, a music video that we did, Panama Power Crusade, the link there, to get a little bit of an idea of the fruit of the venture last year that they came. We just finished up a crusade with a friend of mine, Ted Heath, and we passed out about 6,000 tracts over the Cherokee province. And Ted has now sent 27,000 more chick tracts again to prepare for this next crusade. If you feel so led to donate to our ministry to help provide for the expenses of this next crusade, there's a link there, a PayPal button, and all the expenses or all the donations there that you make on PayPal will go directly to this crusade and for the expenses of it. So there's a lot of things happening right now. Tonight we're ministering in a city called Puerto Amores. We're doing a small crusade there, and this is just a great opportunity to minister to people. People have hungry hearts here, And it sure makes a difference when you're ministering to people that want to hear the truth and they're willing to allow the Lord to change their lives. When I was in the United States, there's such a difference between the people here and the people there as far as their hunger. In fact, I was part of this program. I'm going to be speaking about a slumbering spirit. And I was talking to the Lord when I first got here, and I just was sitting in the church, and most of the people were up in the front, and they were worshiping, and many were weeping just in the presence of the Lord during the worship time. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why are they so hungry here, but they're not back in the States? And I felt the Lord tell me, he said, have you ever been hungry while you were asleep? And I had to think about it for a minute. And as I began to think about it, I thought, well, no, I've never hungered while I was asleep. And I began to think, you know, maybe this is a symptom of a slumbering spirit, is a lack of hunger. And so if you want to question yourself today whether you really are awake or you are asleep, you might just use that as a guide to find out whether your spirit man is awake or asleep. Is there a hunger inside your heart for the things of God, or is there a hunger for the things of this world? Because it's two different dimensions of a life. Jesus said you can't serve two masters, that you'll either love the one or hate the other. That you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is from a word. It doesn't necessarily mean the money that's in your back pocket. It's a system. It's a desire for more. It's a materialism. And honestly, if you look at the world today that we live in, it's a very materialistic world. You want to be keeping up with everybody else's striving for things, a better car, a bigger house, a better neighborhood. And it's not that you can't enjoy a good life, but where is our heart? You know, so the Bible says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so we have to really question sometimes, where is our treasure? Because wherever we put our treasure, our heart naturally follows. Just like if you purchase stocks or you put your money, invest your money, you might be checking, you know, periodically through the week and see where's your stock, you know, how's things going with where your investment is. And God wants us to invest ourselves and invest our lives into the things of God. The Bible says to seek the things above and not the things below. And the reason is, if we seek the things below, that's where our heart's going to be. And there's a price to pay, ultimately, if that's where our heart is. I want to share a little bit about tonight about the just wake-up moments that all of us have. And when we have those wake-up moments, does it waken us, or do we kind of get stirred, but we want to go back to sleep because we don't maybe like what we're hearing or what we're seeing? Ted and I, when we were doing our programs here, the last three programs, I mentioned a little bit of, we talked about Chick Tracks, and that's a ministry called, there's a man named Jack Chick, and he draws cartoons and makes illustrative tracks that are very interesting and compelling, and people read them. They don't just throw them on the ground if you hand them to it. And I remember when I was lost, there was one of these little tracks sitting on a toilet paper roll in a bathroom that I'd gone in. I was at a automotive dealer, and I just had to run to the bathroom. I saw this thing, and I sat down, and I read it. And when I read it, it brought a conviction of sin in my life, and I realized that my life wasn't what I thought it was. You know, our problem is all of us compare ourselves with each other, and we think that as long as we're kind of really not much different than the people around us, that we feel good about ourselves, and, you know, we're not a murderer, we're not some evil person, so we're okay, you know, we're okay because we're not much different than anybody else. But when I saw the list of sins that I was participating in my own life, I began to think, well, maybe my life isn't what I think it is. Maybe there is a God, and God began to use this as just began to bring other things into my life, other divine appointments and people witnessing to me. Someone invited me to go to a couple of motivational speakers. One was Zig Ziglar and one was Art Linkletter. This is back in the mid-80s. And they mentioned Jesus Christ in their motivational speeches. And I really didn't go to church or anything else. So there's more connections to Jesus Christ and who he was. And then other things began to happen too. My brother had witnessed to me, or he just had shared with me about a meeting that he had gone to called a healing explosion with Charles and Francis Hunter up in, actually it was in St. Louis, Missouri. And he went down on the floor of this arena. There was about 8,000 people praying for the sick. There was about maybe 800 people that were, I'm sorry, about 800 people praying for about 8,000 people in this arena. And he said when this one person laid hands on him and prayed for him, that he landed on the floor. The Lord just laid him in the spirit. He wasn't even expecting it. He wasn't even a believer. He said he couldn't get off the floor for 10 minutes. He said he felt like someone's hand was on his chest and wouldn't let him off the floor. And he was telling me this story as I run into him at a party where I was living in Dallas. And I was, you know, kind of questioning how many drinks he'd had to tell me a story like this. But it just sparked a curiosity in me that I wanted to find out if this thing was for real. So I'd scheduled the next meeting they were going to have, which was up in Detroit, Michigan. I took a friend of mine that was very sick, kind of like my personal guinea pig, and I wanted to find out if this thing was for real. Well, when someone prayed for my friend, all of his problems that he'd had, his physical problems, were healed in that moment of time. And that was another wake-up moment, because it's like I was wanted to know if God was real. And I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. But I ignored many signs that he'd already showed me that he was real. But this is a point in time when it's like I'd thrown the ball up in his court, and then the ball drops back in my court, and I hear your move. And I had to make a decision at that time, because there was a light bulb that kind of went on that God was real. And this person prayed for my friend. It wasn't in the name of Buddha or Muhammad. It was in the name of Jesus. And so I began to think, you know what, maybe this is the connection. This is, you know, God is real, and he's trying to show me his reality. And I thought, you know, if I should be dead so many times, I shouldn't have been born. There were many instances in my life that I could easily and likely have been dead if it weren't for the grace of God. I just didn't know what was going on. How come many of these things I had somehow miraculously lived through? But I figured if it was God, that his love that was extended to me to keep me alive, I thought, you know, why would I not want to give my life to him, to a God that loves me like that? And I thought, you know, if God loves me enough to take care of me when I didn't care about him, how much more could he take care of me if I put my life in his hands? So that was a kind of a turning point in my life, that I said, well, Lord, I don't know where we're going to go, but here's my life. And as I had made that initial step toward him to say, Lord, I want to give you my life, I feel like I'm better in your hands than out of your hands, so here I am. And that was the beginning of God beginning to work in my heart and change my heart and heal my heart. But that was the door that had to open up. But there was more eye-opening moments in my life, because many of us live under a blanket of deception, that we think we're somebody that we're not, that we're living in a world that really isn't what we think it is. You know, it's like living in a world and you're living on a credit card. You know, you're enjoying all the benefits of your credit card, but the reality is one day you're going to have to pay this thing off. And many of us today are living in a world that is like that, is that we're trying to extend this comfort zone of life no matter what the price, no matter if the price may be a heavy one with a lot of interest, like an interest of 25% that you may see on a credit card, or 28%. You know, those kind of interest rates get to a point where you can't even pay them back. And this is the way it is many times in our life. If we're not willing to accept the reality, maybe we're broke and maybe we need to go get a job. Maybe we are in a situation that can't be sustained any longer. And until we accept the reality that we have to make some changes, we're just going to keep digging our hole bigger and bigger. It's like we have to lay down the shovel. This ditch that we're digging, this pit that we're digging ourselves into, is only going to get bigger if we don't lay the shovel down. And this is a time right now when we have to awaken to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about our lives, about the situation we're living in, about the world we're living in, because things are going to change in the near future. And we don't know exactly what tomorrow will bring, but the main thing is that we need to be awake. We need to be awakened to the Holy Spirit's voice of what He's trying to say to us. And we're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's by Phillips Craig and Dean. It's called Awake My Soul.
When I close my eyes, I can see Your glory. When I raise my hands, I can touch Your face. When I bow my knees, I stand before You, and Christ is formed in me.
last words of this song. It says, "And when I need your Holy Spirit more than life itself, then Christ is formed in me." There is a place of desperation in our hearts that something changes on the inside of us. Our biggest problem is that we have our hearts so filled with other things that we really don't need the Holy Spirit more than life itself, that we have our comfort zones established, that we really don't need Him like we should. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why when Jesus made the qualifications to become His disciple and follow Him, He said that you can't love anybody more than me, including your own life, that you have to deny yourself and you have to deny your stuff. You have to forsake all. And what happens when this process takes place is that we become desperate for Him. We become to where we need Him. This is the process that God took me through 2 years ago and is in the process of continuing this phase of my life of becoming desperate for Him that has changed me more than any other time of my life. And I'm afraid that this is a difficult road for many because they don't want to give up what they have. There's many rich young rulers out there today that can't give up what they have to get what they don't have. I've always looked at it this way, that it's like having your hands full of stuff and the Lord comes to you with something that you don't have room for because your hands are full. That the only way to make room for what He has for us is to put down what we have in our hands. And this is the hardest part I think most of us go through. I also think about a way that they would catch monkeys is they would take a coconut and they would hollow it out and they would attach it to a tree. And then they would put some sort of food that the monkey liked. And the hole was just big enough for the monkey to slip his hand in. And then once it reached his hand in there to get the food, it would not let go of what it had in its hand. And the captors would come and just throw a net over or club the monkey over the head because he wouldn't let go of what was inside that coconut. I'm afraid many of us are like those monkeys, that we have our hands inside the coconut and we won't let go of our stuff, that our stuff, what is in our hand, is more valuable than what is not in our hand. And God has so much more for us, but we have to be willing to let go of what we have. And I think many of us are in this place of comfort that has put us to sleep. If you think about what a comfort zone does, or when you're comfortable, is that you get slumberous, that you become drowsy and complacent. This is why I believe the Lord said that we had to make ourselves uncomfortable in order to follow Him, because it's part of that narrow road. You know, He said that I have no place to lay my head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. And I think that that's part of the Lord not wanting to get comfortable, that He went to sleep on His job, that He had a mission to accomplish. And if we will pursue our mission like He did, He said that not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. So what is our pursuit? Are we really pursuing the will of God in our life? Are we really pursuing what He wants us to do? Or are we pursuing what we want to do? Are we trying to protect our comfort zone at all costs? Because the comfort zone is a very dangerous place. It's a place where we go to sleep. There's a scripture that comes to my mind here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it starts in verse 3. It says, "For when they say, 'Peace, peace,'" actually, I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not of the darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief that day. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the day, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." And if you think what happens when somebody's drunken or they've been drinking, is that it skews their reality. It gives them a false sense of security, a gives them a false sense of who they really are. So many accidents happen when people are drunk because they don't realize they don't have the controls that they normally had. And the problem is that if you aren't awakened, if you are in your spirit lethargic, then you don't realize what's happening around you. And these are a time right now when we can't afford to be asleep right now. The world is changing around us so fast that it's hard to imagine. I mean, if you just watch the news now, just everything is changing so quickly that it's getting more heated up in the Middle East. There's more tension between the United States and Russia. And one of the things that I've seen recently that has been very awakening for me is the tetrad that's going on right now, that there are four blood moons that will be consistent or on that fall on the feast days over the next 18 months or less now. One just happened on the Feast of Passover back in April, and the next one will fall this fall in October. That will be the Feast of Tabernacles, and that will fall on October the 8th. And the next one will be on the Feast of Passover again on April 4th, and then again Feast of Tabernacles on September 28th. Something is very interesting, and I'll give you a website to go to, and you can look at it if you'd like, but it's called Blood Moons Coming. And there's something very interesting about this particular tetrad. This is the eighth tetrad since the time of Jesus. And there is a very interesting phenomenon that's taken place with this tetrad, that there's a midpoint that's between this next blood moon and the spring blood moon. And there's a midpoint, and every one of the blood moons are equidistant in time to the day as from that midpoint, which will be on, I believe, January the 5th. And this could only be designed by a creator God, that only God himself could do something like this and align the stars and the moon in such a way that it forms a perfect symmetry. And what this means, we don't know exactly, but it's very interesting when you look back at all the other tetrads, that is a very changed time of change, that there was great turmoil in the world, that many of the tetrads, actually, there was a Muslim attempt to conquer the world. And it's interesting what we're seeing again today. And what I want to encourage you is that you would just awaken. Say, God, waken my spirit. I want to be awake. I don't want to be asleep. This is the time to wake up. So I just pray that you will wake up. This has been Strength for the Journey. Thank you for joining us again. Again, our website is strength with a number 4 thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time.